whether you're a voter in Florida or another state, you may also have ballot measures to weigh in on Election Day. This year, there are 155 statewide ballot measures in 37 states. 64 of them are citizen-led initiatives. They're an example of direct democracy, letting voters, rather than legislatures, decide policies and laws. Joining us now is Josh Altick, who's the project director for the Ballot Measures Project at Ballotpedia. Josh, welcome.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you.
And how does the number of statewide ballot initiatives this year compare to other years?
Overall, the total number of statewide measures has been decreasing over the last decade or so. There's been a trend towards fewer and fewer. But in 2016 and 2018, there has been a resurgence specifically in citizen-initiated measures, measures that get on the ballot through a signature petition signed by registered voters.
And in those citizen-initiated ballot measures, if they get passed, do they become law, or is it something that then just gets referred to the legislature to make a decision about?
Those have gone to the ballot for final approval from the voters. There are a couple of exceptions. For example, in Nevada, there's a measure that has to get approved again in 2020 if it passes in 2018. But these measures are going to the voters, and the voters have the last say on them.
So what kind of issues are we talking about here? I see that a lot of them have to do with elections and voting.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest trends we're seeing in 2018. Things like redistricting systems, adding commissions or changing the requirements for redistricting. Marijuana is another topic that's been on the ballot a lot. You know, in recent years has been a trend, and it's sort of continuing this year. Other election policies related measures, things like voting requirements.
Voter ID.
Campaign finance and ethics is another big issue in North Dakota, South Dakota, Missouri.
How difficult is it to get some of these initiatives onto the ballot?
The process varies by state. The number of signatures required is usually based on a percentage of voter turnout, either for the president, for the governor, or for maybe the secretary of state. And the total number varies from a little over 13,000 in a small state like North Dakota to over 500,000 in California this year. The cost on average was $1 million, a little over $1 million in 2018 for these initiatives.
So does that mean that it is mostly big organizations who get behind these things and get them on the ballot, or could it just be Jane Q. Voter?
There are a few sort of really true grassroots volunteer efforts, but for the most part, if these things are costing over $1 million, you either have to have a rich individual, an industry, or a special group, a national interest group that's behind you to provide the funding to get these on the ballot.
I can imagine that in some cases, state legislators would be happy that something is put to the voters so they don't have to make the call themselves. And in other cases, they might not be happy because it ties their hands.
Yeah, in general, implicit in the initiative process is a conflict between citizens or registered voters and the legislature. The backers of these initiatives generally use the initiative process as a sort of a method of last resort. If they're not getting what they want done in the legislature and they see an opportunity that voters might approve a policy that the legislature has either not acted on or has opposed. But there's always some exceptions that prove the rule, and there are cases where politically connected people go to the initiative process, and that could be for a variety of reasons. But for the most part, the citizen initiative process is used when the policies aren't being approved in the legislature.
Now, sometimes the voters decide on something and then the state either drags its feet or decides it doesn't want to go through with it. In Maine last year, 60% of voters approved a ballot initiative to expand Medicaid to cover tens of thousands more people. But the governor there, Paul LePage, has blocked implementation and there's an ongoing legal battle over it. How often does that kind of thing happen?
As you see the initiative process have its resurgence, so as you see more initiatives, you see the number of instances where that conflict I was talking about that's implicit boils to the surface. The response to the 2016 initiatives was, in many cases, to either repeal or change the initiatives if possible, and some states allow that, some don't, or to pass restrictions on the process. And then the sort of the third response we've seen is an effort to compromise in 2018 with initiative proponents instead of letting it go to the ballot and letting it be this sort of hard battle, trying to find some sort of deal they can make where initiative proponents withdraw and the policy still gets at least some sort of advancement if it's not the full effort that the initiative proponents wanted.
What is the thought about how useful ballot questions are?
Direct democracy is really important in the U.S. Every state but Delaware, so 49 states, require voters to ratify constitutional amendments. So even if the legislature puts it on the ballot, the voters still have to vote on it. The question really comes down to, and the argument is about, citizen-initiated measures, where you know, an industry or a corporation or an out-of-state interest or grassroots volunteer efforts can put a measure on the ballot by collecting a certain number of signatures. Only 26 states have any process that's similar to that. One of the most common arguments in opposition this year is out-of-state interests and industries or special interests usurping the process and using it to put forward some sort of policy that benefits them and doesn't benefit the voters.
Mm-hmm.
And behind that is this idea that you can confuse or dupe the voters into approving something that they don't want to approve. In support, people always just argue that when you put something directly before the voters, you have to just trust the voters will actually be able to vote according to their values. And that requires an informed electorate and a lot of discussion and spreading around the information so that voters can have the information they need on election day to vote their values.
But you wonder how many voters actually do have the information they need on election day to vote about some of these things, which they probably don't spend that much time thinking about.
Right. Yeah. And that's why Ballotpedia exists. We've seen that need. And that's a real concern that, I mean, is being expressed all over the place. In fact, this year, there are ballot measures that address ballot measures. There's some meta ballot measures. For example, in South Dakota, there are measures to increase the voter requirement threshold to require 55% instead of just 50. Should there be some protections involved, and should there be some more criteria that prevent any sort of manipulating of the voters?
That is Josh Altick, who is project coordinator for the Ballot Measures Project at Ballotpedia. Josh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And what do you think about ballot measures, direct democracy? Let us know at hereandnow.org. Whatever you tell us may become law.